What a joyful way to gather this morning. Thank you, parents, for being here. We know it's an ask to be here that early to get everything done in the lead-up time. I'm grateful to all of you. I'm also grateful to all of you who have stepped into those places of absence over the last couple of weeks, to those who helped make a funeral possible on Tuesday when we had no staff around. Thank you for that. To those of you who helped make bingo possible Friday night, thank you for that. It has been a wonderful week of people stepping in to put doors back on offices, and I can't tell you. So though we have been slim on the staff side, we have been blessed by you all over the last couple of weeks. So my gratitude to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is at work among us this day. Amen. He'd stopped pacing. Now he was standing, one foot on top of the edge of the well, the fury rising like steam off of him. There was a trail from the entrance to the courtyard, helmet, crimson cloak, breastplate, greaves. Each one of them dropped without care in the dirt. The servants could pick those up, but they were nowhere to be seen. His fury was such that they dared not show themselves, dared not make a sound, that they might incur his wrath. The morning had started as it had 26 or 27 times before, getting ready, his armor polished to the gleam in the sun. It didn't quite fit the way it had some 25 years ago. But as Cornelius, the centurion, entered, his confidence was renewed. The corded muscles in his leader's arms, the veins in his biceps and his forearms instilled confidence in Pilate. And so he mounted his steed. It was a glorious mount, bright white. He'd gone to Spain just for it. Wandered the fields until he found exactly the right animal to inspire fear and confidence. And so as he left the headquarters, Cornelius walked in front and the century followed behind. The rhythm of their movements settled his anxiety, and the confidence that was always there seemed buoyed. The cohort, they lined the streets, all 800 of them. They never dared make eye contact, instead holding their spears and their shields and staring straight ahead. As they got to the edge of the city, he went through the gate, just far enough that the century could also come out of the gate. And pivoting, stepping back to make way, there was just enough room to turn his mount and to walk back through them. Cornelius, as he went, straightened cloaks, gave last-minute instructions, and brought them to readiness. And when he got to the gate, something was different. Normally, the peasants were there, out in droves. It was shameful, really. For breadcrumbs and a few coins, that's all it took, and they would gather there. And in that moment, they would fall on their knees in the dirt, fall on their knees to Rome. But this morning was different. He was confident that as they went into the city, the breadcrumbs would be spread, the coins would come, and they'd come out from their homes, but they did not. Instead, as they paraded through to the headquarters, very few were there. The clanking of the armor, the footsteps in the dust, that was all the noise that they could hear. It wasn't until he got to the front steps of the headquarters that someone finally told him what had happened. A man on a donkey, had come in to the city at the same time. He'd gathered that donkey some 2 miles away, the little peasant villages of Bethpage and Bethany, those who weren't wealthy enough to live in the city. And he'd ridden down the hill, cloaks on its back is all, nothing compared to the war horse that Pilate rode. And at first, it was quiet, legs dangling in a silly-looking way. He rode until he hit the edge of the encampments for Passover. That's why they were out this morning. 100,000 people had pitched tents and laid down bedrolls so that they might be near the temple to come to worship. And as he entered that encampment, it was the children first who noticed this silly-looking man, feet dangling on either side of a little donkey. And they began to laugh and to run, to gather around and to shout with joy. Finally, the adults noticed and they joined them. It was in that joining then that something began to happen. Someone said for the first time, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Save us! Deliver us!" Soon they were putting their cloaks on the ground so that the donkey didn't walk on dirt. And when they ran out of cloaks and approached the Mount of Olives, they cut the branches from the palm trees around its perimeter and laid those on the ground. He entered the city, and the word that came to the headquarters was that this one was the one they had waited for, the one they would call King of the Jews. King of the Jews. There hadn't been a king in Jerusalem for 100 years. Rome had made sure of that. The stupid Jews. They'd asked Rome to come in and help. What do they think? That we wouldn't take over? And so Pilate stood foot on the well. And as his fury abated, he found himself wondering, King of the Jews, what might that look like? Would it look like a war horse with a century behind and a cohort lining the streets? King of the Jews, what might it look like? A man on a donkey? Feet dangling into uncertainty, and the crowds rising up, shouting, "Hosanna, save us, King of the Jews." After 100 years of Roman domination, what might it look like? King of the Jews. What might it look like? Amen.